Now, I'm delighted to welcome, we have historian in residence, Cormac Moore. Cormac, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're very welcome to the programme. Now, this afternoon, we're going to talk about Eamon de Valera and James Craig and the one and only time they met, which took place on the Holt Road on the 5th of May, 1921. Reading up on this, I get the feeling that not a lot of people in whatever about Southern Ireland, but Northern Ireland, knew that James Craig was coming down to meet de Valera.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if he knew either until the day it happened or the day before. It seems that Alfred Cope, who was in Dublin Castle, and he was always actually talking to Sinn Féin, mm-hmm. even though it was British government policy not to talk to Sinn Féin. Actually, Neville MacCready, the Commander-in-Chief of the British Army in Ireland, used to say, has Andy gone down the drain again? As in, was he talking to Sinn Féin again?
Right.
And Alfred Cope seems to set up that meeting. And he seems to have tricked both de Valera and Craig into believing that the other wanted the meeting. But there have been rumours, like for months, a couple of months before that they would meet.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to give it context as well. Eamon de Valera at the time was the president of Sinn Féin, and James Craig was leader of the Ulster Unionist Council. He had just overtaken Carson that February, and he wasn't Prime Minister of Northern Ireland as of yet. Northern Ireland became a political entity 2 days before they met, but he would become Prime Minister on the 7th of June after the first meeting of the Northern Ireland Parliament. They were the two leaders of the two major identities in Ireland, you know, De Valera, the leading nationalist, and obviously Craig, leading unionist. It actually happened kind of without kind of a the other person realising who would call for it.
Yeah, it's actually strange to think that I was just reading up a bit on it, that Emma Dalton's biographer, Sean Boyan, he said that Dalton sat in the car beside Craig and Dalton advised him to pass himself off as his secretary if they were stopped by the Crown forces. So,
and he didn't. Craig would be forced to go.
He would, yeah. And like, not even, as you say, the Crown forces, they obviously didn't know who this man was, James Craig. Or cared who he was.
Obviously, like, you have to remember there wasn't any TVs then, you know, there was newspapers. But illustrated newspapers were, there certainly were in London and other places, but it wouldn't have been too common in Irish newspapers, Dublin newspapers.
So, right. So what was...
You'd imagine a lot of people wouldn't have known Craig's face at that stage in Dublin.
So what
they weren't stopped anyway, but I think that was just a threat by Dalton not to, say him with
the I suppose so. So what were they talking about? What was the meeting for? What was the general idea?
Well, Craig, they had two different objectives. Craig wanted an agreement on the border, that he wanted a peaceful election, and he wanted that Sinn Féin to accept the reality of Northern Ireland, which was very unrealistic on Craig's part. And equally unrealistic was de Valera's hope that Craig would accept the United Ireland. Neither were ever going to agree to those terms from the meeting. But the fact that it happened is significant, though. That, you know, since then, there's a lot of historians and other commentators said that, you know, Sinn Féin were dogmatic, you know, they didn't talk to unionists and vice versa. Unionists wouldn't have anything to do with Sinn Féin. This shows that there was some willingness there,
mm-hmm.
albeit small. There was some willingness there for both sides to talk. Craig obviously met with Michael Collins twice in 22, and he had pacts with him. Even though there was a huge disagreement and they were poles apart in terms of identity and outlook, there was some meetings, obviously, and there was some potential for some level of cooperation. Even on a more micro level, in terms of county councils, municipal authorities, Sinn Féiners did work with Ulster Unionists, you know, so it wasn't totally beyond the pale that they could form some kind of agreement. But the meeting itself, they both had obviously very different versions of the meeting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Craig said that, you know, that's basically De Valera bored him to tears. He went on a 700-year history rant of Ireland, and after half an hour he had reached Brian Boru. After another half an hour he had reached to reach some modern king a century or two later, but he'd come out getting tired.
He was giving him a history lesson.
history lesson, where De Valera said that's not true. It actually was Craig's mystical view of the union that they mainly discussed. So it was from the Act of Union they spoke, and De Valera was trying to put context how the union had not been good for Ireland. So that's they had two very different viewpoints of the meeting.
Yeah.
Of what was discussed and.
Yeah, I see here that Dalton claimed that Craig told him that he found De Valera impossible. So one person had one, what would you say, he had one account of what the meeting went, and the other person had another account on how the meeting went. But it looks like this man, James Craig, he understood the importance of talking anyway, coming down here to talk to De Valera.
No, he did, and it showed that he was becoming more aligned with British dovish policy, like kind of two schools of thought in British government, which is the hawkish policy of, you know, rout out the IRA, and the second one was that we have to talk to him and negotiate a settlement. And the fact that Craig met with leader Sinn Féin shows that, you know, he was moving towards, like, Carson, Edward Carson would have been very much on the hawkish side and had nothing to do with Sinn Féin. And, you know, destroyed him, basically, destroyed the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Craig obviously showed that, look, there was some flexibility there. It was extremely brave as well. We have to remember that. Like, basically, what happened was he went down the night before to meet new Lord Lieutenant, Lord Fitzalan. He stayed in the Vice Regal Lodge, where the current US Embassy is, that night with his wife. And then Alfred Cope drove him to a house in Northumberland Road. And then he was picked up by three of the toughest looking, or what he called three toughs, armed to the teeth. Now, Emma Dalton doesn't fit that description of a tough, you know, but he's a. He's debonair manner and dress code, and he's perfectly groomed mustache, but that's what the way Craig probably exaggerating describes it.
Yes.
And he was taken with those three men in a car. I thought Dalton said, threatened him, look, if you open your mouth, you'll be forced to go. And he didn't know where he was going, but then the Sean Harling, who was De Valera's courier, Craig asked, "Where are we now?" And Sean Harling said, "In Clontarf." Oh, this is where Brian Boru won and lost his life in 1014.
Yes.
Craig was curious about that. And they actually ended up in Holt Road in a house called Belvedere, owned by a solicitor called Joseph Green. That's where it began. It was quite brave on Craig's part.
Yeah. Funny enough,
he'd go alone by himself. And Alpha Cope was worried he wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
His wife Cecil was waiting in the Phoenix Park. She was worried that he wouldn't come back as well.
Right.
But he did, of course. And,
yeah. I looked up that, see could I find any information about that house, Belvedere, on the Holt Road.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The only thing I can come to, conclusion I can come to, it's nearer the Fairview end. And I meant to go into
more
the
like towards the Clontarf.
Yeah.
Considered a Holt Road.
Yeah.
Clontarf part of Holt Road.
Yeah, it, as you say, it was extremely risky for him to come down to Dublin. I mean, I don't know whether he came by train or they came by car, but it's a long way to come when you're the person that you are.
Absolutely, yeah. And but what the British used to do, that they learnt this from the Boer War, was actually never travel the same way you came.
Mm-hmm.
For strategic points of view, and obviously he wasn't a regular visitor to Dublin. So
yeah.
That wouldn't have, I think he travelled by car to Phoenix Park, and then Cope drove him from the Phoenix Park to Northumberland Road.
Right.
And the three IRA men drove him to Holt Road. Officially the meeting was his reason to go to Dublin was not to meet De Valera, it was actually to meet the Lord Lieutenant. It was the day after that the meeting happened with De Valera.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was that came down to Dublin to meet Albert Reynolds in the hotel there on the south side of the city. He was from the,
David Irvine and Barry McMichael.
That was a good few years ago, naturally enough, but it's probably a similar situation Do you think that in modern day now that is it a case that are the talks more about how we live together, or is it the same I don't mean not saying, because I'm not sure whether it is or not, but is it a case where, you know, there's too much talking of the past and not much talking of the future?
What do you mean in terms of the meeting between De Valera and Craig?
No. In general, as we know it today, you know, like
as an historian, I'm obviously going to say we need to talk about the past and how it impacts on the present and the future. So
yeah,
you know, I think it's important not to forget the lessons from history.
Yeah.
So you know, I think it is important. But obviously, when we were talking about the past, I think it's important not to put today's lenses on what happened in the past, and that happens too often.
Yeah,
people put their morals or their viewpoints from today on what happened 100 years ago, and take actions completely out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that happens too often today.
Yeah,
and sometimes people use past events to promote their own agenda, and often they're biased or they don't have a balanced viewpoint on certain events or people, and that can be dangerous
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. There was a quote I saw on a magazine, I can't remember the name of the magazine now, which is annoying me, and it was the week after the Oma bombings, and it said that if history teaches us anything, it's that it teaches us nothing.
I know that's what some people say, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, there is a belief, and it's fair one in many ways, that same mistakes keep happening over and over again.
Yeah, your thoughts on Arian Foster leaving the DUP?
I think the DUP are going down a hole, and it's Arian Foster was no saviour either, and she made huge blunders and. It's terrible in many respects, particularly as First Minister, and how she backed Brexit, and even though she did that, a sizable majority in Northern Ireland and backed staying in the EU. I just think a lot of her policies and they really had a spectacular on goal. They had such a strong position when they propped up Theresa May's government, and the deal that they were offered in,
mm-hmm.
So much better for the DUP and those three unions, so she blundered. But look who's going to come after her, are going to be far worse. John Donaldson. It does seem that you have to. There's a drive towards the more extreme right within the DUP. I think they're a party that's. They'll have support for a while, but certain sections of the population. But as I think we discussed 2 weeks ago, when it does come to border poll and unity referendums, undecided people are going to be the driving factor for whatever their vote is, and having someone like Poots as leader certainly won't be helping that unionist cause in any way, I tell you.
Right.
Convincing anyone outside of the unionist fold at this stage.
Right. Okay, then. Have you any talks coming up soon on...
Yeah, well, I've got one on next Thursday with Lisburn, the Linen Museum there. And it's on the Bert's border, on basically the political, social, and cultural consequences of partition.
Yeah, sorry, did you say Lisbon or Lisburn? Sorry about that.
Lisburn, not Lisbon in Portugal.
Lisbon and Antrim. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. And that's coming.
No problem. The Linen Museum, they're organising it. So.
Oh, lovely! And that's coming up next Thursday.
Next Thursday at
13th at 7 p.m. 13th at 7 p.m. That's interesting. Okay, Cormac, we're up against the time here at the moment, so I leave you for now, and I've got about three more programs to run, three more Fridays to go, so hopefully I'll have a chat with you before I sail away. So nice to talk to you. Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. And there you go. That's Cormac Moore there. And...